Bibles this time to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew 7, we'll be reading the first five verses of Matthew chapter 7. If you are visiting with us as a congregation, we're in the middle of a series, or towards the end of our series, on the Sermon on the Mount here. And just by way of reminder, these are the words that Jesus spoke to his disciples as they came into his presence. And there's a connection, a clear connection between the law, Jesus is unfolding and applying the law, and how that applies within his work and his ministry, how God's people are to take that law upon their hearts. And here we're going to be reading about judging others. So Matthew 7, that's found on page 965. Matthew 7 at verse 1, "Judge not that you be not judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me take that speck out of your eye,' when there is a log in your own eye? You hypocrite! First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye." And as far as we're reading here in Matthew 7, I do encourage you to keep your Bibles open as we look at these verses together this morning. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, the opening verse of Matthew chapter 7 may be perhaps the most misapplied verses in the Sermon on the Mount. Whenever the church speaks out about some social ill or some depravity taking place in society, it's almost a knee-jerk reaction. People say, "Judge not, judge not." And if a Christian were to speak about the sin, an unrepentant sin in the life of someone within the context of the church or the community at large, the default position is, "Judge not. Who are you to tell me what I am and am not supposed to do?" Judge not is thrown in their face. Our society has taken these words out of their particular context, as we're going to see, and applied them without the actual meaning that Jesus here gives. The world says that these words mean that Christians can never critique or condemn, that we can never speak out about someone else. The idea is being pushed upon the church, that the church is always to be accepting and affirming of all people in all their actions. No matter the sin, the church is expected to say that there's nothing bad or there's nothing evil in a person's actions or works. So for us, it's important to understand, as we read these verses here in Matthew 7, it's important for us to understand what Jesus is not saying. But it's also true for us to properly apply what Jesus is saying. Because the fact is, as humans, we are quick to judge others. We compare the worst actions of others with the best works that we perform. We glory in the downfall of others. We think the failures of others somehow make us look better. So we need to properly apply what Jesus is saying as well. Jesus begins by saying in verse 1, "Judge not that you be not judged." And our theme is this: the judge of all mankind instructs his disciples to apply his word to their own hearts first. The judge of all the earth is telling his disciples to apply his word to their own hearts first before they take that word out into the world. In our first point, then, we consider the kind of judging that Jesus here forbids. So chapter 7 opens, "Judge not." Judge not. Stop criticizing people all the time. Don't be so quick to speak your mind concerning someone else. Don't be so fast to dismiss or rebuke others. Don't be so hypercritical. Jesus is not saying, refuse to call a spade a spade. He is not saying that you need to call sin righteousness, clearly in Isaiah spoken there. He is not saying that we shouldn't recognize that there are things in the world that are contrary to God's word, but he is saying, don't go around looking for opportunities to point out the faults and flaws of everyone around you. Don't be the first to stand and point. Don't make yourself the judge whose only job is to point out the sins of other people. Perhaps you know someone like that, who is always pointing out the flaws in everyone else, or perhaps you yourself are tempted to be that person. We tend to make ourselves feel better when we are pointing out the sins of everybody else because that draws everyone's attention to everyone else. Look at what they're doing. Look at what's going on over here, because if everyone is looking over there, they're not looking right here. So don't be so hypocritical, Jesus says, in your judgment. So verse 5, Jesus says, "You hypocrite." Don't be hypocritical in your judgment. Hypocritical judgment is condemning others for something you yourself perform. A hypocrite is a play actor. Children, maybe you've seen this in a movie or a TV show. You have this actor sitting up on the bench. They're not a real judge. They might have the robe and the gavel, but they have no authority and no right to declare a verdict. So it is, hypocritical judgment is done by someone who pretends to be holy, pretends to be above the law, and condemns everyone else under them. Don't go around with a magnifying glass just looking for people to put down. Just as one illustration, you see this all the time on the internet. People who are proficient posters on Facebook, they like to comment on everyone else's page. We call them internet trolls. They like to be engaged in the latest controversy. They like to rattle the cage, pointing out the faults of everyone else, but they never speak to their own hearts. Jesus says this in verse 2. Do not be like the person who judges others, but never looks at their own actions. For the judgment that you pronounce, you will be judged. The hypocritical judge is someone who has a higher standard for others than for themselves. An example of this is found in Romans 2, verse 22. That's Romans 2, verse 22. Why do you say to others that you must not commit adultery and then go on to commit adultery yourself? Who are you to say that adultery is bad when you yourself are committing adultery? It would be like an elder placing someone under church discipline for stealing when they themselves are a thief. It's deceitful, Jesus says. It's hypocritical, and it is worthy of condemnation. So do not be hypocritical in your judgment. You don't always know everything. You may be wrong about this person that you're condemning. Added to this, hypocritical judgment leaves no way for return. As Christians, we must always leave the door open for faith and repentance. Hypocritical judgment writes people off, says they're without hope. So Jesus forbids hypocritical judgment, but he also forbids proud judgment. When you think that you are worthy to judge others, more highly, thinking more highly of yourselves than you ought, judging others as if you are over them instead of alongside them. Jesus gives us a masterful illustration in verse 3. Now, children, you know this illustration well. It's almost funny, except the seriousness of the point. So there is this one man, a brother, who is going to help his brother. So this is talking within the context of the church. Two believers. Believer A is going to help believer B. Believer A comes to believer B, this his brother, and says, "Let me help you take that speck out of your eye." Now, the word speck here means a sawdust or a saw chip, a small piece of wood. Now, to be fair, if you have a a piece of sawdust in your eye or a chip of wood in your eye. It's incredibly painful. So believer A goes to this guy who has a piece of a sawdust in his eye and says, let me help you out. But believer A has a problem. He has a log in his own eye. The word for log here is a beam. Children, look up. It's talking like one of these beams that you see here. That's the kind of log this guy has sticking out of his eye. How can this man with a log in his own eye go to someone who has a speck in their eye and think they can help? It's almost funny because everyone can see that you have a log in your eye. I mean, you can hide, if you have a piece of sawdust or chip in your eye, not everyone can see that. But if you have a log in your eye, absolutely everyone can see this massive beam protruding from your face. But the brother with the log thinks he can help the guy with a speck in his eye. For the first person to assume that he can help while he has this beam in his own eye, he is delusional. He's a proud hypocrite living in unrepentant and unidentified sin. He can't see for the sake of the log in his own eye, and he refuses to identify the log in his own eye. And Jesus says this, living in unidentified and unrepentant sin disqualifies you from rendering aid to others. So the application is clear. If you are not repenting of your own sins, you will not be useful in helping others repent from theirs. If you are living in unrepentant sin, you have no right to point out the sins in others. Or Jesus might put it this way, let him who thinks he has no sin cast the first stone. Repent of your own sins first. But don't forget, Jesus will go on to say to that woman caught in adultery, go and sin no more. We're going to find that in our second point. But for now, let these words of Jesus be impressed upon you. If you don't think you have sin, be the first person to cast the stone. Hypocrisy and pride is a constant danger to the Christian life. We see others fall into sin. We think, well, at least that wasn't me. I would never do something like that. This person is getting what they deserve. But we all struggle with sin. Every one of us here. Others are just better at hiding it. The fact is, we cannot always see what's going on in the hearts of men. Romans 14, verse 10 puts it like this. Why do you pass judgment on your brother, or why do you despise your brother? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. Only God knows what's going on in a person's heart, and everyone will have to give an account to God for every action and every word and every thought that they ever did. Jesus is making this point very clear. Do not be hypocritical, do not be proud, do not be rash in your judgment. Don't be unnecessarily harsh. Listen to people. Try to give them the benefit of the doubt. Try to understand them. Do not hold others to a standard that you yourself are not attaining to. Because hypocrisy in your judging others arouses the anger of God. Verse 1, the standard you use for others will be used against you. Being a judgy person, hypercritical, is itself a sin. You see the irony of this, don't you? Being a hypercritical, judgy person is itself a sin. So if you're thinking you're going to help someone else with their sin, and you are being a judgy, hypercritical kind of person, you yourself have sin that you need to deal with. That's of having a judgy heart, a proud heart, being a hypocrite. God's people are those who are not quick, who do not go around casting stones when they themselves have sins that need to be dealt with. Because the fact is, brothers and sisters, conservative Christians can be a little judgy. I mean, if we're being truthful, conservative Christians can be a little judgy. really good at pointing out the sins of everyone else. Oh, this is going on in that church. This is going on in that house. This is going on in the world over here. We point out the sins of others without mercy and without humility. But God's people must first learn to take a long look at their own hearts first. And that brings us to our second point. Because that's not the end of the matter. Do we just drop all judgment then, knowing that we have sin, therefore we can't say anything? The application of Matthew 7, children, if the application of Matthew 7 is, since I'm a sinner, I can't say anything, then the application is, I'm going to leave the plank in my own eye and leave the speck in my brother's eye. That's not the application, and that's where the world gets this wrong. Because if you look at how Matthew 7 continues, the application is clearly not leave the log in your eye and leave the speck in your brother's eye. That would leave the whole world blind. Sin still needs to be addressed, but it needs to be addressed in the proper way. Matthew 18 says that we are to clearly address sin, mutual accountability, church discipline are necessary marks of the church. So we need to be careful here when we do apply God's word, applying it first to our own hearts and then taking it to others. Is the sin that we are calling a sin actually sin, or is it a preference? Is the action or word actually a sin against God's word than it is to be dealt with? Well, how do you deal with it? Well, the first way you deal with the sins of others is by having a humble heart, recognizing your own weakness and your own need for repentance. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12 puts it like this: let anyone who thinks they stand take heed lest they fall. The sin that you see in others could just as easily be seen in your own heart or in your own life. So when you approach others, you are recognizing that the sin you are dealing with finds its same seeds in your own heart. Only by the grace of God you stand. So you start with humility, recognizing that faith and repentance is a necessary part of every life. Not just the guy with the speck in his eye, but me too. So start with humility. Second, address the sin with gentleness. Galatians 6, verse 1. If anyone is caught in transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him with a spirit of gentleness, keeping watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. So there is a humility, but also a gentleness when it comes to exposing, to revealing, to speaking about the sins of others. Recognizing our own weakness. Added to this, the sin that we are confronting must be a sin that we first ask ourselves a question about. Are we already in that sin? We address sin first with a mirror, looking at our own hearts. Before you point out the sin of your brother, make sure you don't have the same sin lying unaddressed in your own heart. We find that in both of our readings, from 1 Corinthians 10 and in Galatians 6. Be careful, take heed, lest you too fall. Maybe you already are fallen in this sin. So be careful. So then, have I done this? Am I doing the very thing that I'm going to confront my brother over? If so, children, go back to the illustration. If you take that mirror of God's holy law and you look in that law and you see your own sin, what's the path forward? The path forward is take the log out of your own eye so that you can see clearly and help your brother with the speck in his eye. Is that not what Jesus says? In verse 5, address the sin in your own heart. Repent. hate that sin, flee from that sin, put to death that sin, and then you can see clearly and help your brother. So when you're going to someone who is caught in sin, the first words out of your mouth should be something like, I understand the temptation because I too have been tempted. I too need to repent of the very same sin that you need to repent. So come with me. Let's go to the throne of Christ. Let's call upon God for mercy together. You are not going to them saying, you need to repent. You are saying, we need to repent. Let's go together. Let's respond to sin properly. Hating sin and fleeing to Christ. Get your own house in order before you try to help others. You see, brothers and sisters, the point Jesus is making here is not that we avoid talking about sin. He is not saying avoid the whole discussion. That would be easy. Jesus is saying you need to do the hard work. Start in your own heart. Take a good look at yourself. Investigate your own heart. And then go to your brother in humility and gentleness. I said the same thing to our high school catechism students last week. There is only one sin that will get you placed under church discipline. There's only one sin. It's the sin of refusing to repent. That's the one sin that will get you placed under church discipline. Now, it may have a fountain of other sins that was the initial sin, but the one sin that gets put on church discipline is refusal to repent. So it is when you are conscious of your own sin, your own need, you're taking that plank out of your own eye, you'll be made humble and a faithful servant to help others with their sin as well. So church discipline and mutual accountability must take place. Our first reading from this morning was from 1 Corinthians 5. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 2, Paul tells the church, you must cast out this wicked, unrepentant man. He's living in sexual sin. And he was proud. He wasn't repenting. So Paul says, you need to kick that person out, excommunicate them, remove them from your midst. Remember, Jesus is speaking to the church. This is a disciple speaking to another disciple of Jesus Christ. The Sermon on the Mount is not a moralistic sermon. It is recognizing that sin is to be dealt with in a gospel-driven way. A judgy person says, you are a sinner and there's no hope for you and I'm better than you. A gospel-driven disciple says, you're a sinner, I'm a sinner, and there's good news. Your sins and my sins can be forgiven. So let's go to the throne of grace. Mutual accountability and church discipline only work when you have a shared love for Christ. 1 Corinthians 5:12, for what do I have to do with judging outsiders? Is it not those inside the church that you are called to judge? God judges those outside. So we are to judge those inside the context of the local church, weighing their actions, because a tree is known by their fruit. Yes and amen. And one day, this is 1 Corinthians 5, verse 2, the saints will judge the world. On the day of judgment, we'll sit on that white throne with Jesus, judging the nations and even judging angels. So it's not to say we have nothing to say to the world, but we are to start with our own hearts. The church stands as a witness to the world, shining like a light in the darkness, often speaking to the world, is met with rebellion, rejection, but that's not to stop us from speaking the truth. Rather, driving us to our knees in prayer that God would open their eyes and open their hearts. But that's not the issue that we're talking about today. In these verses, Jesus is saying, how do you help a brother who is ensnared in sin? Well, you take the plank out of your own eye, the log from your own eye, the sin in your own heart. Deal with that first, and then go to them with gentleness and humility, with every hope and expectation that once you show your brother their sin, they will see it as sin and respond with faith and repentance. James 5, verse 19. If any one of you wanders from the truth and someone brings you back, whoever brings back a sinner will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. That's the ultimate goal. You don't point out the sin of others to make them feel bad or to make yourself feel better. You are going to them as a spiritual brother or sister with a desire to bring them back, to cover a multitude of sins, to save their souls, leading to repentance and reconciliation. When that is our desire, when we practice the proper kind of ability that Jesus is calling for, then we understand the truth here in Matthew chapter 7. To conclude, whenever we need to point out the sins or wickedness in others, we need to remember that we are to deal with ourselves and our own hearts first. In seminary, the professors often tell you, make sure you're preaching the sermon to yourself before you preach it to the congregation. The same thing comes when it applies when it comes to dealing with sin. Remove the plank from your own eye before you try to help others with the speck in theirs. Our theme puts it like this. The judge of all mankind instructs his disciples to apply his word to their own hearts first before they bring the word to others. We'll all stand before that white throne on the last day. Nothing that is hidden will not be brought to light. Every beam and every speck will be exposed as such. So let us learn to speak the truth in love, gentleness, humility, calling everything that is contrary to God's word, wickedness, and everything that conforms with it, truth and light. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word, and we are humbled once again when we are mindful, when we see our own pride, how prone we are to point out the sins of others and to ignore our own sins. We pray that we would continue to, by your Spirit, be enabled to see our own sins before we speak to the sins of others. But may we also be motivated by love. May we, seeing sins in others, may we care enough for their souls to go to them. May we never be satisfied with unrepentant sin in our hearts or in the lives of others, but may we speak the truth in love and also with humility. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.